Good evening. How's everyone doing tonight? That was a great message this morning, wasn't it? Just our sins are buried in the deepest sea, right? And like the deepest part of the ocean, I think of the Mariana Trench, and it's 7 miles maybe, but like, what does that mean? I know that if you put you can put Mount Everest in that Mariana Trench. And I think it's still like even deeper than that, like a little bit. When you see an airplane, like that's you'd be on the bottom of the Mariana Trench and that's the top of the ocean, the airplanes flying. It's wild. And we're like remembering our sins and God's like, where are they? I don't know what you're talking about. It's just beautiful. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for bringing us here tonight, Lord. So easy for us to maybe just decide we don't want to be there. I'm tired. I'm just going to lay low. It's Sunday night. I want to go to work tomorrow and just be rested for work. But by faith, we make decisions to come to church. And thank you, God, for bringing us here. Speak to us, God. Someone that maybe doesn't feel like they deserve to be here. Maybe they've done something or they just like, you know, sitting in the back and they just like, no, I'll just come and go quickly. God, speak to that person. Speak to that person. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Colossians, Colossians chapter 2. We have a simple message. It's not complicated. The gospel is not complicated. And I think sometimes, you know, smart people, really intelligent people can get tripped up in the message of the gospel because they think that there's more to it. They think that there's like an intelligence behind it that there's really not. It's simple. It's just surface level. It's like so simple. And I think it can trip someone up that's intelligent. I think like in Colossians we read about philosophies of the world. And in verse 4 it speaks about being deceived by persuasive words and persuasive things. And if you think about philosophies, they can complicate the gospel. Like Jesus comes into the picture and it's like philosophy kind of tries to like put Jesus in some part of it of the knowledge of like, you know, the world. And it's like Jesus falls into like a good, you know, moral person. He's like, you know, this is where he goes. But the philosophy of this and that, and you're like following it. And it's like, it's simple. It's simple. It's Christ crucified. It's the finished work. It's our sins are buried. They're hidden. They're gone. And do we believe that? And do we grow in that? Do we trust in that? So I think like if you read in verse 3, it says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I think when it comes to philosophies, like, you know, the philosophies, there's like usually one or two men behind like the thought. And like they have a thinking of like something and like that's it. But this book here is written by many, many authors over many, many years in different places, and it's like it's a work of God. It's a work of God. And so when you find yourself being like caught up in maybe, you know, we have a lot of smart people here, and if we get caught up in like this, like these philosophies, it's important to come back to the baseline, which is basically God's word versus man. It comes down to that. It's God versus man. And if you believe in God, if you can get to that part, which is pretty easy if you ask me, if you just think about going to a museum and you see a painting and you see it and you're like, you don't question that there was a painter. There was a painter. You go to the museum, there was a painter. The creation is evidence of a creator. If you get to that point, now if you get to the point where God exists, it's easy to get further. Because if God exists, like Pastor John Sable says a lot, expect miracles. Expect these things to be true. Expect amazing works. Expect the parting of the Red Sea. Because if God exists, all of that's possible. And it's important for us to know that. So when it comes to philosophies, it's man. And then you have the work of God. If you look at the Bible, we have the work of God. So can we trust God or are you trusting man? And I think, if God communicates. Like, if God exists, another thing, like, God is a communicator. He communicates to us. If God exists, wouldn't that God want to make himself known? And that's where Christ comes in, and he makes himself known through Christ. He doesn't just spin the world into existence and then put his hands up and walk away and say, okay, that's the existence. you know, like physics, like, you know, I make physics and boom, then I'm done, walk away. No, he comes into the world and it comes into physics and like time and space and like communicates to us like, hey, like this is me, I'm love, like this is my heart. And that's important. So if you stay in Colossians with me, in verse 8 says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and of empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, like I just said, men versus God, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Not according to Christ. Like, where does Christ fit into all of this? And that's where philosophy gets tripped up. Philosophy doesn't know what to do with Christ. They can deal with God. Oh, yeah, God. Okay, we can get behind God, theism, or all these things, deism. We can kind of understand God, and he's up there, but Christ, the cross, like the blood, that's like, it trips philosophy up. And there's a gentleman, Jordan Peterson, if you follow him, you know, I don't really, but I've heard, like, he's caught up in that right now. Like, he's caught up in this idea of Christ. He doesn't know what to do with him. He's like, Christ, I don't, doesn't, it makes sense, but it's not. And it's like, he has to let go. Like, we have to let go of our, like, idea of, like, knowledge and, like, wisdom of in the natural and just give it to God and just, like, God, I don't understand, like, what it is. What is wisdom? Teach me. And just if you can come to God in humility, he can teach us these things. And going on in Colossians in verse 13 of chapter 2, it says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And that's it. That's the message. He's nailed it to the cross. And all we have to do is believe. All we have to do is believe. It's the simplest thing in the world. You can do it. A person in a vegetative state that can only hear can do that. Like, that's amazing. That's the simplest thing that God could require of us, basically, like you could say, is just believe. Just believe. And if you think about the Gospels, go through the Gospels, you know, you have all these men and the people in the Gospels that can't do something. Like if you think about, I wrote down here, the paralytic in Matthew 9:2, he couldn't walk himself to Jesus. Maybe he heard, oh, this person, like, he touched Jesus and he was healed. He just went up and touched Jesus and now he was healed. And this paralytic is thinking, well, I can't do that. I can't go up and walk and touch Jesus. And then, but he's got a group that's like faithful and like brings him to Jesus. And then you've got the woman who touched the hem of her, you know, his garment that like she couldn't be in public. You know, she heard Jesus heals. Like, you know, you just need to touch him. Or maybe she's, you know, she's hearing that Jesus is around and she's like, well, I can't go. Like, that's where the public follows him. I'm not allowed to follow, you know, be in public. And by faith, she just like decides, okay, like she can't, you know, there's all these times in the Bible, in the Gospels where we see people that aren't able to do something, but by faith, Christ is like making it possible for them to be healed. The mute man, you know, can't speak. So you have like people, like the blind man who can't see Jesus. You know, if you think about like the talk of the day back in like the time, like, oh, if you just touch Jesus, you can be healed. And the blind men are thinking, well, I can't see Jesus. I don't know where he is. I can't, you know, I can't touch him because I can't see him. Where is he? And then you think, you know, like Jesus makes it possible for them by crying out, like, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And then you think about the mute man who can't cry out. But he can see and he goes and touches. You know, like, it's beautiful, these things, like what is limited in someone, but where like God meets that person, like God comes down and communicates to us. Like, he comes down. We could never go to him. Moses tried it himself to deliver Israel. It didn't work. He goes away 40 years. He's just alone. And then God comes to him and says, no, like, this is what we're doing. We're doing it together. I'm doing it. Are you available? You know, are you available? I can use you. And he's saying to each one of us, I can use you. But your own efforts, your own striving, your own things, like, leave it. I don't need that. I don't, you know, I'm not going to use that. I'm going to use your availability. I'm going to use your availability. And we too, like in the world, maybe we don't have physical ailments, but we certainly maybe have spiritual ailments that are preventing us from coming to Christ. Doubt, disbelief, you know, different situations we're dealing that we're facing that aren't physical disabilities, but we're spiritually disabled maybe. And that's another thing. Like, God is going to meet you. God is going to meet you. Just simply pray that Christ reveal yourself. Like, I don't know much. I'm a simple person, but you just reveal yourself to me. And he's faithful. In Matthew 11, 4 through 5, it says, you know, tell John the Baptist, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. You know, these are miracles that you know, we should expect if God exists, right? Yeah. Do we believe God? Can we believe him? You know? Yeah, and I think that's it, being available, you know, being available to God. Can we believe God when he says our sins are forgiven? Can we believe that? And that's the only requirement that he's asking of us. And then just knowing that, understanding that, he's called us righteous, he's called us holy, and we're like this, and can we believe this? And as we believe this, we'll find ourselves walking in this and becoming this. Amen. Thank you, God, for this night, God. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us. Speak to us. Continue to speak to us, God, through the service tonight. The offering, God, just bless it, God, the message. Help us learn to be available and help us not to be tripped up by complexity, tripped up by the complex nature of philosophy and knowledge, Lord, that puffs up. But the gospel is simple. It's for the man who can barely read, the man who was poorly educated in a poor village that doesn't know his left hand from his right hand. That's who the gospel is for. It's for that person. And if we can leave our knowledge and wisdom, our natural wisdom at the door, we can learn of you, and you will teach us true wisdom and true knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's see, we have Esther. You know Esther, right, who's sang there, right? She's from Finland. The guitar player here, Jonathan. You want to raise your hand, Jonathan? There he is. He's from Finland. Bensku, with the song leader, was from where? Finland. I'm feeling a little Finnish myself. What other Finns do we have here? You want to just stand up if you're from Finland? I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm just enjoying it. Wow, these are, you know, great people. Avery gave an excellent message. Wasn't it excellent? Really excellent. I want to repeat it because he gave such a good message. I just want to repeat it. Now, I'd improve on it. I can't do that. We all know that. But it's a beautiful thought about the life of faith. The believer lives by faith. I didn't know that about Jordan Peterson. I've heard about him. I think I listened to a YouTube video sometime in the last year. My sons know about him. The young people know about him. And to become a believer, it's a big deal, isn't it? God draws people. He draws people to the edge of reason. And then God says, do you believe in me? Mm-hmm, right? And we say, yes. Then he says, jump. I believe in you, but I'm not jumping. Yeah. I give that illustration of being in Finland in a cold winter. There's the bridge 10 miles away. But because the ice is frozen on the lake, you can drive across the lake. Yeah, there's a road just goes, it's right on the ice, just go across and save 10 miles of travel. How many are going to do that? Yeah, I believe it'll hold me. I believe, but I'm using the bridge. I'm using the bridge, okay? But I believe. I'm not jumping, but I believe, you know. That's where intellectual assent, it's reasonable, but can I jump? And God's saying, I will save you. I will save you. You need me. But you can't come to me without faith. So this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It's going to come down to a battle in the world we live in between believing or not believing. Those are the battle lines. Do I believe or I don't believe? And the believers, they are the salt and the light of the world. They have another kind of wisdom. They are different. They have another motivation. So the morning message is about motivation, and I want to have you turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 3, for the love story, which I think all of you like that. I do. Song of Solomon, this book on love. Love, wow, love, solid, awesome, true love. God is love. God is agape love. He is a love that never fails. You think, does it always feel good? You could ask Jesus in Gethsemane, do you feel good? No, not at all. But I love. What do you mean you love? I love. I love the world. I love my Father, but I'm dying. I'm dying, but I love. Isn't that amazing? When Jesus comes into your heart, you jump, and he catches you. You fall. You jump. You fall 3 feet and 300 feet. 300 feet, and he catches you. Or you jump in 3 feet, he catches you. But he catches you.
Yay, Jesus.
Yay, Jesus. Yay, Jesus. He catches us. And where does he put us after he catches you? He puts you up higher, and you look down at this, and you see the reason how people live. You understand them because you have been here. But where is it in the Bible? He sets us on a rock higher than ourselves, that we have a wisdom that is from above. We have a different nature. We have a different life. We believe. And out of our hearts is love. Love for who? Love for God. You have new motivation. You have love, love for God. I'm reading in the Old Testament the laws, and one of them is, if your enemy's donkey is lost and you find the donkey, what do you do with the donkey? Bring him back to where? Back to the owner, who is your enemy. You can bring him back to your enemy and say, excuse me, sir, here's your donkey. I found him. He is yours. Have a good day. God bless you. That's the law. I found some U-Haul blankets alongside the road. I pulled over, picked them up, and it said, "Return to U-Haul if you find them, Mr. Tom." So I put them in my car. I haven't returned them yet. But I plan to, if it's convenient. What's the meaning of law? The fulfilling of the law is actually love. You have a new heart. You have love. You have a new motivation. We said this morning, my salvation motivates me in a new life. And by the way, I'm not talking about self-righteousness. I didn't say that example. I've said that example, premeditating it, not to draw attention to me, but for you and I to be drawn to something very much needed in the day we live in. And what is it? Not judging and canceling a new thing. It's called mercy. It's forgiveness. It's investment. It's the gospel. That's what's needed. It's too harsh. It's too cold. It's too serious and judgmental. It's too self-righteous in our world. Everybody's judging people. Everybody's presuming. And everybody is hiding. You hide when people are judging. They will find me out. Good news. God already found me out. God found me out. God found us out. We are three things. We are guilty, we are afraid, and we are ashamed. But when you jump and God saves you, you are not guilty, you're not afraid, and you're not ashamed. You are loved. When you are loved, then you love. He loved me first, 1 John 4:19. Now we love him because he first loved us. So we are saved. Now, second thing, not only are we saved and it motivates us, but we are now looking at life and understanding that love is the better way to live. It helps me in my relationships, helps me in my purpose. It guides us in a world that needs love. Love is a new way. It's a new and living way. It actually is a moving way. You know, in the beep, beep, what's the road runner? The road runner is a bird, right? Pastor Phil Norman knows all this. The bird, and then there is a coyote. And the coyote, Gary Grunwald knows about coyotes. And he said, coyotes are just, they just are so persistent. Coyotes just step after step. They go, if they sense they are on a trail after a deer who is sick or wounded, 10 miles later, that coyote is still going. Beep, beep. Beep, beep. What happens when he goes... The bird goes fast. The road moves. The road moves. The Bible says that Christ is a new and living way. The escalator at the airport, the horizontal one, just moving. Are you on it? Because when Jesus does this, then it motivates your heart. You say, I want to believe. I want to go on in faith. I want to believe. But there are times when I hit a wall. I am disappointed with myself. I look at myself. I have questions, like we said this morning. R.C. Sproul, why I questioned his salvation. Was he elected or not? He was in a bit of a dilemma. And we addressed it this morning by saying, that God is not only the God of Calvinism with their boxes and concepts, which are precious and important, but he transcends the concepts of men. His ways are past finding out. When he says, whoever believes, you know what it means? Whoever believes. That's what it means. Whoever believes, what happens? He is saved by grace. Who? Whoever believes, come, drink of the water. Whoever is thirsty, come, drink freely. Because God is love. And he didn't make us. He has no delight in the death of the wicked. He made us and has great pleasure in us believing in him and trusting in him. You are saved by grace, forgiven, and sealed with the Holy Spirit. And he of all the Father has given me, I have lost none. He knew us from before the foundation of the world. He wants us to know that he is our friend and tells us secrets. I once came up with an illustration on that. Forgive me if you've heard this before. I don't know if I was in a class when I told it. I said, if you work at the McDonald's over here and you go into work and the manager says, sweep the parking lot. And so you take the broom and you go out and you sweep it. And that's when you are a servant and he's the master. But Jesus said, you are not servants. You are my friends. Because I tell you what's behind. I tell you the secret. So you go into work at McDonald's and the manager is your friend. And he says, here, you need to sweep the parking lot because the owner is coming at 10 o'clock. And he told me that if that parking lot is clean, then everybody that is working, I reward you. He tells the, something behind it. You see, when you feel and sense that your faith has good results, then that is motivating you in your life. When I feel my life is better off by being here, then I live by faith. And this is part of my life because I live by faith. When I sense that prayer actually has an impact, that the spirit of prayer can come upon you. I don't know if it will come upon you in the middle of the night. When one man said to Pastor Hadley, I was suicidal the other night. I went to the bridge, actually, Francis Scott Bridge. Pastor Hadley said, that is so interesting because at that same hour, 2 a.m, God woke me up. And I got on my knees and I prayed for you. And he said, I did not jump. The police car came and I left and they picked me up. And they brought me to Shepherd Pratt. Do you know what? When you feel or sense that prayer is answered, when you feel and sense that the life of faith has value, when you sense in your heart that Jesus is here and he is close to us, when you sense that when we see in our country the craziness of what I feel is very superficial, shallow living, it tires people out. It is boring. It is dull. It is not insightful, motivating, spiritual. It's not moving me, pushing me, pulling me. It's not having any effect on me. It's dull and dead. And people turn to things for some excitement. And we want to say to you, don't turn to those things, turn to God. And when he says jump, jump and believe God and come to God as you are. And God will give you a new life and motivate you in your life. I want to just show you this illustration from Song of Solomon, chapter 3. By night on my bed I sought the one
I love. How about it? Can you identify the one you love as God? I think you can. If you aren't there yet, it's going to come. I sought for it as a young guy. I wanted to know, is God real? If he's real, I want to follow him with all my heart. He'll take care of me and he'll do whatever he wants to do. But I've sought him whom my heart loves. I don't mean a human being. I'm talking about God. It's a parallel. The love with a person, a boyfriend or a girlfriend or your husband or wife or whatever it might be, there's a parallel. I have a romantic love with a spiritual love. And the romantic love is a beautiful gift and a beautiful thing between two people. And it is to be respected and appreciated. But at the same time, and God does it, at the same time, there is a love that'll never die, a love that'll never let you down, a love that will never fail, a love that is eternal and is between you and your Creator. So she wanted him. Verse 1, I sought him, but I did not find him. Yes. Yeah. Have you found him lately? Do you know what I mean? I think you do. So she said, I will rise now. What motivates you to get out of bed? For me, it's got to be an emergency. Is the house on fire? How badly is it on fire? Yeah, is there a criminal in the house, a broke into the house? Let him take what, don't bother me. I'm in bed. But to get out of bed for God, that's pretty awesome. To get out of bed, I'm comfortable, but to go beyond comfort and seek him. This is motivation. And by the way, this world is so much hungry to know about motivation. They mean the psychologists, the politicians, the business world, everybody's trying to figure how does a kid finish school? He's not motivated. How does he play a sport? He is not motivated. How does he play a musical instrument? He's not motivated. How does he learn another language? He's not motivated. How does he keep a job? He's not motivated. It's a big problem with people, all of us. But this isn't a problem. It's what you and I have. We have Jesus. That's what we have. Jesus drawing us, following Jesus, believing in Jesus. If faith overcomes the world doesn't have that motivation. We have it. We look for him and find him. We want to listen to him and hear him. We want to sacrifice for him and feel like it's not a problem. I give you everything. I would give you 1,000 lives. If I lived 1,000 lives, I'd give them all to you. Because nothing makes sense to me except you. You are God. You created the world and you made us and you gave us a little bit. C.S. Lewis says, God doesn't show himself in a certain way because he wants us to live by faith. And the devil doesn't show himself in a certain way because he doesn't want us to find out who he is. Do we see both of them? We see God and we see his enemy. We are in it. We are drawn to him because love. Love changes things. Love heals relationships. Love changes a community. Love heals a family. Love says, don't worry about it. I can take it. Don't worry about it. You can hit me again. It's okay. I can take it. Love bears all things, believes, endures. Love never fails. Love. Love cares about the city of Baltimore. Love cares about people in our neighborhood. Love cares about life, about this week. What is God going to do this week? God is here. God is present. And she is saying, where is he? Let's finish it. It says in verse 2, I will rise now, I said, and go about the city. In the streets and in the squares, I will seek the one I love. There's a big difference between being a tourist and a missionary. What's the difference between a tourist and a missionary? What's the difference? Difference is, and they're not, tourism isn't wrong, but I'm just saying there's a difference. What is it? It's my goal. My goal, a tourist to have a good time. Missionary is to seek him, is to seek souls, is to have an impact, is to see the work of God. Whether it's in a swamp or in a city, in a hotel or in a ghetto, a missionary is looking for God and looking for his will and doing something by faith. A tourist is paying money and having services and wanting to have a good time. The amazing thing is, when you seek him, probably you're going to end up having a very good time. Probably you're going to end up you're seeing things that you would have never seen. Meeting people you would have never met. Experiencing something you would have never organized. You're going to find God in your life in some place because your purpose is of such a nature. And so she goes through the streets and the back alleys and she goes through looking for Jesus. She wants to find Jesus. That's what she's looking for. By the way, how do you find a husband? How do you find a wife? I would recommend seek Jesus. I would say, how do you find your life? I would recommend seek Jesus. If you seek Jesus, it'd be amazing. When Adam needed a wife, it was the Lord who said it. It's not good for him. He's getting a little loony. I don't think the bachelor pad thing is going to work. The dishes are piled this high. The pizza boxes, there's two piles that go to the ceiling. This guy is not good for him to be alone. And see, he needs a cat. He needs a dog, a parakeet. What does he need? Monopoly? No. Oh, Monopoly game? No, it's not going to work. There's nobody here. He needs a... He puts him to sleep, wakes up, there she is. Wow, that's amazing. God will take care of you. God can lead you. You don't have to revert to the flesh. You just seek him, and you will find him. And this is the meaning here. In application. Look at verse... I will seek the one I love. I will sought him, but I did not find him. The watchmen who go about the city found me. The watchmen are the, you know, the educators and the psychologists and the people that are the government and all the people running things. They found me. And what did they say? I said, have you seen the one I love? And they basically didn't have an answer. We don't know what you're talking about. We're like here. We came to the edge, but we didn't jump. You know, who are you? I jumped, and I'm in another place. And you don't know what I'm talking about, but that's okay. I don't expect the world to understand me. I expect them to ridicule me, mock me, not understand me, and that's fine with me because this is, I went a little bit beyond them. Let's read that and we'll finish this. Scarcely had I passed by them. I passed by them. I passed by their unbelief. I passed by their schools. I passed by their way of understanding. I passed by them. When I found the one I love, I held him and would not let him go until I brought him to the house of my mother, into the chamber of her who conceived me. You know, I've got a book over here. I want to finish this up, but in 1946 in Dallas, the school board, they passed a law or a rule and found this interesting. The Dallas High Schools, April 23rd, the Board of Education, they made this regulation that in the school they were teaching for one half unit credit toward high school graduation. They studied in 60, 40 class periods of 90 minutes the New Testament, or 80, 45-minute periods. In no case will fewer than 40 different class sessions be accepted. It was a New Testament study course. It was required for graduation. They learned the New Testament. There were 40 90-minute class periods. You know, what I like about that is in this book about our country, God and country, Encyclopedia of Quotations, and a review of the religious history in our country. How we are Christians, how we taught, how we believe, what we did, how leaders spoke, what presidents said, what was in our culture, how much we embraced it, how much we went for it. Now we're in another place, but the principle is this one. We live by faith. That's how we live. And the effect is real. It's real. People need what we have to say. We see there's a hunger, and people are troubled. There's a great need. And so don't underestimate your walk of faith, your attendance here, your prayers, your love. Do not underestimate your walk. Don't underestimate what it means to get out of bed and seek him whom your soul loves. Look for him. I don't think the bed thing is the issue as much as it does smack of like something. It must have been a big deal to get out of bed for this. She loved him and wanted to find him. I might forfeit something for him. I might lose something, an opportunity for him. I might lose something right in front of me. That's a great, great thing. But no, I'm seeking him. And God, bring it to me and show me and lead me. I need you and I want you. And that's how we live. We live by faith. Amen. Lord, I just believe some of these things that we said relate to us tonight. We care about our country. We care. We ask things to be. We ask for people to come to church We ask for children to learn. We ask for teenagers to live by faith. We ask for pastors to be moved and live with this love in our hearts. To love people. Help us to love people, God. Fill us with love for people, Lord. People we don't know, people at work, people around us, to be kind, be loving, to be open, to initiate. There's a good word. To become an initiator. Initiate conversation. Initiate friendship. Many are lonely. Initiate. Knock on a door. Is there anything I can do for you? I live two houses down. You need anything, just let me know. God bless you. What it means to initiate, to talk, to love. Lord, thank you for the day today. You blessed us today. And carry on, God. Carry us on in the new and living way. And bless our night tonight and the week, this month coming up. Lead us, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.